this week, gold, silver, and the XAU continued their upward trajectory, along with the Dow Jones Industrials, which could eclipse 20,000 as soon as next week. Well, welcome back to Gold Seek Radio, everyone. Chris Waltzek here with you. Fed officials surprised the markets with hawkish guidance this week in the just-released FOMC meeting minutes, which encouraged precious metals bulls. The XAU and gold and silver shares continue to plow higher through resistance, just as we saw before many big rallies in the past. Joining me with their outlook on the sector, Gerald Celente and Peter Grandich. First up, Gerald Celente returns with holiday spirit given the economic chaos predicted by his models. Gold is just the ultimate hedge against the financial uncertainty headed this way. He's excited about virtual reality and education, noting that it could fill the void. Then Peter Grandich says the recent correction has removed most of the speculative crowd from the equation, presenting a big valuation opportunity in gold and silver. Thanks in no small part to improved demand-supply conditions, the markets are primed for better performance this year. And we discussed this recent development of Bitcoin's blasting through 1,000 yuan amid major currency controls and the potential implications for the precious metals sector. Then Robert Ian wraps up the show with his latest report. And we'd like for you to leave your questions and comments on our hotline, 641-715-3900. You'll need our extension number, 5140-49. Again, that number, please jot it down, 641-715-3900, followed by our extension number, 5140-49. GoldSeek.com radio begins now with a market weather recap. Visibility virtually unlimited over the precious metals sector following a less-than-sanguine U.S. jobs report, which pushed the U.S. dollar lower. According to the report, the unemployment rate ticked higher by 0.1%. Fewer than expected jobs were created last month. Gold picked up 2%, about $22, ending at $11.73 an ounce. Silver added over 50 cents, up 3.3%, finishing at $16.52. The precious metals XAU shares finished at $79, up 6.5 points, about 8%, while black gold added 50 cents at 54 a barrel, following a report that Saudi Arabia will curtail production following the agreement with OPEC. The chart of West Texas Intermediate crude remains very bullish, presenting a solid case for at least $70 oil this year. The top story impacting the market, though, this week stemmed from the Labor Department that showed that nearly 25,000 fewer jobs were created than expected. 156,000 were added in December, but the unemployment rate climbed higher from 4.6% to 4.7%. Still, 2016 did represent the sixth consecutive year in which the economy created more than 2 million new jobs. Amid very solid wage growth, which jumped last month, hourly pay increased 3% from December 2015 to 2016. That marked the best stretch since the 2008 recession. Some analysts, though, noted that institutions are concerned that maintaining such high growth in 2017 could be challenging. In related news, the U.S. dollar stumbled this week on reports that officials in China continued to halt capital outflows. Investors are turning to gold and Bitcoin ahead of an imminent policy change that could make gold investing even more challenging in the nation that mines and consumes more than any other worldwide. According to Bloomberg reports, economists are most bullish in a year on the precious metal sector, citing concerns over political uncertainty in the EU and domestically, which helped the metals post one of the best two-week advances in a year. Elsewhere, on Wednesday, policymakers released the most recent minutes from the FOMC meeting. Reports revealed a less hawkish Fed, suggesting that the strong dollar over the past year has helped ease inflation concerns and lessening the odds of the three rate hikes that were earlier forecasted by policymakers. The Fed funds futures added support for their thesis as investors paid less for contracts favoring higher rates than a week earlier. Precious metals, bottom line. Well, the CRB index and West Texas crude continue to add further support for the bullish precious metals case. Plus, the U.S. dollar is in jeopardy as unemployment moves higher, and XAU shares, as mentioned earlier, are above two solid resistance levels, Moving on to the Wall Street Report, sunny skies appeared over the New York Stock Exchange with the Dow Jones Industrials adding 171 points, finishing just shy of that 20,000 mark at 19,963. The S&P 500 picked up 40 points, ending at 2277, less than 2% for the week, while the NASDAQ added 138 points, 3% at 5521. Topping the list this week, real estate and consumer staple shares added to recent advances, while the financial sector did come under some pressure. But the seemingly untouchable Amazon, a regular candidate on my Alpha Stocks newsletter, AMZN, climbed 3.1% following news that it would continue to attract new customers. Investors are keeping a positive outlook ahead of the proposed economic policies, including financial deregulation, tax cuts, and expansion of our infrastructure. Benefiting from the theme, retailer The Gap, GPS, saw solid sales numbers over the holiday season, while Stanley Black & Decker, SWK, agreed to acquire the Craftsman Tool brand. Bottom line on equities. Well, the technical picture remains bullish for the sector as investors continue to shy away from interest rate sensitive debt issues in favor of higher yielding stocks in the U.S. Plus, growing concerns in the EU over impending referendums in primary member nations as well as in peripheral nations is weighing heavily on debt issuance, sending further capital to the domestic markets. For the time being, the uptrend remains intact. Coming up after the break, more GoldSeek.com radio. We'd like for you to stay with us. Gerald Celente back for his 2017 trends forecasts, and he has at least 10 of them. Welcome back, Gerald Celente.
Well, thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year. And my New Year vow is a new year of joy and beauty.
That positive attitude carries us a long way, and I want to share some recent quotes on Gerald Celente's work. New York Post says, if Nostradamus were alive today, he'd had a tough time keeping up with Gerald Celente. CNN News, headline news, says, when CNN wants to know the top trends, we just ask Gerald Celente. We've got lots of trends. One of them at the top is, okay, referendums in Italy, referendums all throughout Europe, and of course the Trumpsit, if you will. Give us an idea of what you think about populism. Certainly seems good in the short term, but we've also had trouble with nationalism in the past. What do you think?
It's bigger than nationalism. It's bigger than populism. It's disgust for the existing systems in countries around the world that have been run by small groups of political parties and ruling elites, while the rich are getting richer and everyone else is getting poorer. And that's not just rhetoric. It's a fact. When you look into the United States, for example, since 2009, 95% of the wealth has gone to the 1%. That's a fact. Of the working people with full-time jobs, 51% of them are earning $30,000 or less. It's a fact when you go throughout Europe, particularly Italy, Spain, Greece, high youth unemployment rates in the 30-40%. So there's a disgust of the systems and the people that are destroying it. So they throw these words on like populism and nationalism. You know, so you mean you want to, how dare you, being a German, that you want to maintain your German, Italian, Spanish identity? How dare you not want to be whitewashed into a European Union of globalization? How dare you don't accept multinationals taking over sovereign rights? How dare you want to keep your culture and heritage? How dare you refuse to open your country up to immigrants when your country can't take care of their own already? So people that oppose those things are denounced by the people that want to continue those things. So what they do is they put cheap, ignorant labels on them to disguise and cover up a much bigger issue.
Next on the list, economic disorder. According to our officials, policymakers, hey, what a good year 2016. I mean, you know, we're under 5% unemployment. Everything's great. We all have great jobs. Wait a minute. When you look behind the numbers, almost 100 million Americans have either given up looking for work, have accepted part-time work, are struggling to make ends meet, or are simply underemployed significantly. That sounds like a recipe for disaster. All these people who could be working, about 100 million.
The word you just said, the system. And that's one, our top trend, of course, is one of them is make it new. And again, we're political atheists. We call things for the way they are, not the way we want them to be. And what Trump is, it's making it new. He didn't only defeat Clinton, he defeated Obama. No president ever campaigned as much as Obama, sitting president, for a party candidate. He lost the House big time, and they lost the Senate. And they lost state legislatures throughout the country, the Democrats. He also beat Hollywood. All those $100,000 a plate dinners, they lost. Silicon Valley lost. They were all supporting Clinton big time, as we found out by WikiLeaks. They lost. The hottest algorithms, all of the everything that they lost. Mainstream media lost. So the system lost. People want it new. Going back to the system and going back to economics, it's a new system. It's not a political system anymore. It's a business system. Politicians don't know what to do. I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate at 23 years old. I ran political campaigns in Westchester County. I've been around these people. They're politicians. They're in it for their own head, their own ego. They have egos. And so now you have a business guy in there bringing in business people with Trump. So you look at already the changes that have happened on the positive, emotional counts, psychological counts. Whether Ford says, no, we're going to make the cars here rather than Mexico. Or whether Carrier says, no, we're not going to send all those jobs to Mexico. We're going to keep a lot of them here. But whether you bring in guys like Wilbur Ross, Mnuchin, and Tillerson, these are tough business guys. Renegotiate tariffs and trade deals. Yeah, I want these guys to do it, if they're going to do it on behalf of we the people. So we're seeing that, yes, the economy's not as strong as it should be, but the probabilities for a better economy, we've done a 180 since Trump has come in. And so now when the disorder is, you have a strong dollar. Look at the money flows out of China with the yuan now at eight-year lows against the dollar, losing 8% in just a year. Look at what's going on in all these emerging markets that borrowed tens of trillions of dollars. They borrowed it in dollars, have to pay it back in dollars. The dollar's getting stronger. Their currencies are getting weaker. That's where your economic disorder is. So while the United States may do better, a lot of countries are going to do a lot worse. And that's why we still say that, no, we don't see gold going in the trajectory that we had it before. But we still say it's the ultimate safe haven asset, considering the economic disorder ahead.
There's just so many forces that could have knocked it down, and it continues to tread water. You know, you bring up some really interesting topics with the Trends Journal. You talk about technological advances. You know, sometimes I think people are overwhelmed by technology. I mean, especially as we mature, it's difficult to keep up with it. It's our nieces and nephews, right, who seem to have a handle on technology. There are some trends going on here, some themes that are persisting that are just simply astonishing. And I think they really have real world application in certain parts of the country, wiping out tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of middle class and working class jobs that was just a barrier against unemployment. Well, maybe not for much longer.
Virtual reality education is one of the big ones. That to us is, all the ones you mentioned are 100% true. But the big one that we see is virtual reality education, VR-ED. The education system was built for the industrial age. It's a German model. You had people read, write, do some arithmetic, and mostly follow orders. And that's what it is, a general education. We're forced to learn a lot of things we don't need to learn, we'll never use, and it's just a system to keep them telling you what to think and how to think. And you mentioned about how young people are already so, you know, digitally coded, and, you know, when they're little babies, they're playing with this stuff. So now put them in a virtual education classroom. Now you have them geared toward what is this person most qualified and most have the most talents in, and what are the hidden talents that this person may excel in, and what are the weak points that they should never even bother doing. And you find that out, then you put them in the virtual classroom. But unlike having teachers that go to state colleges or wherever and get a degree, you know, so they could teach us from textbooks, now you have the best teachers in the world teaching your child or teaching you as an adult. Whether if you're a doctor and you're doing virtual surgeries, but you're learning from the best of the best. So from the top to the bottom. So what we're saying is that when you're looking at virtual reality And they're putting it now mostly in games, and you could take a trip to wherever you want around the world. It's much bigger than that. And that, to us, is going to be one of the biggest changes, the biggest profit opportunities on the horizon. Now, also, think of this, Chris. Think about how you won't have to pay all those lousy school taxes that you're paying to give these kids degrees and educations in worthlessness because of all the brick-and-mortar buildings. Just like people are doing online shopping. You have now online learning, but going to a much higher level with a virtual classroom. You are there. It's totally different.
What we're seeing is more of a amalgamation, if you will, of the brick and mortar and the online. I mean, even top schools. I was recently down at Clemson. They're about 20-30% virtual. So I think even the top schools, public schools at least, they recognize that this is no longer a trend we can ignore or laugh at. We've got to hustle to get on board. So on to another one. No more cash. Title it Trends Research. You know, I mean, look, we're looking at cryptocurrencies, blockchains popping up. We even have our own silly blockchain here at Goldseek, a silver coin-backed blockchain based on Ethereum. This genie is not going back in the bottle. And, of course, that's not all you're talking about when you say no cash. I mean, look at India. We've got Prime Minister Modi, right? We're going to go pure digital. Then we move on down to Venezuela. They're writing it behind the scenes into legislature around the world. Why do they hate cash, and what does it mean for us?
The reason they hate cash is because when you pay cash, they can't get their share of it. They want to steal every nickel, dime, and penny that you have. So if you go cashless, everything you spend, everywhere you go, everything that you've done, they know where it is, what it is, and how much they're going to get from it. Period, paragraph. That's the only reason they're doing it. All this baloney about terrorism and drug dealing, you know, save it for the six-year-olds. I don't want to hear it anymore. You know, you'll be able to do it in one way or another if you want to do it. So that's the only reason they're doing it. So now we'll go back. Let's go to India. So they turn in, you have to turn in the rupees. What do they have? They're worth between what? What I think it was like $7 and $15. That's their highest currency. Show you how poor the country is. Now, what would you rather do? You have to turn in all your rupees, or you'd rather be holding gold? Go back to Venezuela. Take a look at Argentina. One after another. Look what's happened to the Argentinian peso with that 40% inflation rate. What would you rather be holding? That or gold? So what happens is when they have these radical shifts going on and you don't know they're going to happen, you mentioned what Modi did. He did it overnight in India. They didn't tell anybody. They weren't even prepared for it to happen. They didn't have the replacement currencies even printed. They did it. It shocked everybody. So the shock comes, and that's what you do. You prepare for the unprepared. You prepare for the worst. If the worst doesn't happen, you didn't lose anything. If the worst happened and you didn't prepare for it, you lose everything. And that's what happened in India. So if you lived in India and you were holding gold, and Modi comes out and says, we're calling in all those rupees, 86% of all the currency, he says, so what? Doesn't affect me.
The thought of even owning a gold coin is virtually an impossibility. But wow, could they own silver. So, you know, I love your idea of gold, and I think it makes the case for silver even stronger.
Oh, it does. No, I just mentioned gold, but both of them, any precious metal. So that's the opportunity. And that's what you do. You prepare for the worst. If the worst doesn't happen, you've lost nothing. If the worst happens and you didn't prepare, you lose everything. It's a very simple formula. You can see it happening. It's how many more examples do people need? So if there's going to be any kind of crisis, all of a sudden they lock down, whichever way they do it, you know my Gerald Celente's GC's 3Gs, guns, gold, and a getaway plan. You know, it's as simple as that.
It is simple as that. It's great because, unfortunately, so many folks, I think, are missing the opportunity simply because we've been, as you say, crammed into the system from an early age. We've been force-fed pablum, and you just can't get the truth, plunged into a system where your mind is just simply, I don't know, melted by propaganda. I want to get to this last big topic. This is something we don't generally talk about on Goldseek. It's a little bit off topic. And if you had the courage to talk about marijuana, we look at the pros, we look at the cons. We think the pros, if you're an adult and the brain is fully mature, this is a remarkable medicine. Easy to grow. It's inexpensive. And in many places of the world, it should be legalized. Where the problem seems to come in is when young folks get a hold of it, it can do quite serious damage to a growing mind. But it has amazing medical benefits. Give us an idea of why you think this is going to be such a big economic opportunity.
Well, you know, you hit on a lot of points, and you talk about young people not using it. Look how the pharmaceutical industry is screwing up young people with all these drugs they're giving little kids to keep them in order. You know, I grew up when I did. You know, I was born in the Bronx. I ran away from PS 76 in the Bronx and crossed the Boston Post Road, which was the major artery in those days between New York and Boston, at 4.5 years old when I ran away from kindergarten. If I did that today, they would have me shot up on drugs. You want to talk about doing some, you know, grass? Should they? No, of course not. Let's look at the reality, Chris, of how the pharmaceutical industry and the mainstream medical industry is screwing up all these young kids with all the drugs that they're putting on and making up stuff like attention deficit disorder. Planet could feed us with food. They could heal us with the herbs. Could they get that in their head? Or I got some clown from 1930s saying it should be, that we should criminalize it, and it's been criminalized all that time. Well, now it goes back to the bottom line. Just like the reason they legalized gambling, because they could make profits from it, from the states, you got to be in it to win it, the same thing they're doing now with marijuana. You got more tax revenues in Colorado coming from pot than they got from booze last year. It's the bottom line. And then you said the medical. The United States is doing the least of the major nations in doing research on medical benefits.
Because it's Schedule One. You're exactly right. With that scheduling, Schedule One, the laboratories cannot touch it. Go ahead.
Israel's on the cutting edge of this. These people you hated in high school and college that wanted to be class president and head of the student council, men and women, telling us what to do. So that's the other point. Will the new administration allow this to happen? And we believe, yes, it will, because you hear Trump talking more and more about states' rights, and that's what this is about. And the federal government should mind their own business. The federal government should only be there to protect us from invaders and foreign nations and to make sure people don't rob all our money as they keep robbing it from us. Medical marijuana is beyond medical marijuana. You're going to start seeing this. These are stocks that are going to continue to rise. But look what they just did in Massachusetts. The people passed the law, and now these low-life little politicians, a couple of days before the session closed, reversed the law, and now they're postponing it for 6 months.
First of all, I live in a state where this is not a legal substance. My wife and I are actually allergic to smoke, so we don't really have, you might say, any skin in the game. But I do want to share this amazing little document I keep right on my desktop. They put alcohol against marijuana. So let's look at alcohol. Addictive, depressant, causes cancer, millions of deaths per year, costs the police and the NHA huge amounts, death through overdose, and destroys brain cells. But that's legal. Now let's look at marijuana. Not addictive, antidepressant, cures cancer, zero deaths for the most part, saves police billions, no overdose potential, and increases and enhances brain activity. But it's illegal because you can grow it.
These are the same people that take us to war, you know, over lies. You know, so it's this whole political system. I've had enough of it. And the one thing I'm happy about, that what Trump has done, he's brought a business person in rather than a politician. Politicians, again, they're only in office to serve their egos, not to serve we the people. And they got this thing that they tell us what to do. Who put them in charge? So that's why. But we're going back to this. It's 28 states. That's a great outline that you did, and I'd love for you to send that to me as well on the benefits of marijuana. 28 states now making it legal for medical or recreational use. This trend is just beginning, and it's going to continue to, quote, grow like weeds.
Absolutely. I'm going to forward it to your assistant. Okay. Why don't you tell people a little bit more about this must-read publication, The Trends Journal?
Well, I can tell you that the top trends that we've put out for 2017, there are nothing like it. And they're profit opportunities like we've never seen before. And anybody that wants to get a hold of them, they could go to our website, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. Besides the Trends Journal, we put out a Trends Monthly. We put out a Trend Alert each week, and we do Trends in the News broadcasts each weekday night. It's the only place where you're going to read, get, and hear history before it happens.
Absolutely. Gerald Celente, we always appreciate it. Have the best 2017.
You too, and a great 2017 of joy and beauty.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity. Brazil Resources, based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves. Industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
It's a pleasure to welcome our featured guest today, Peter Grandich of Peter Grandich & Company. First guest of the new year, 2017, starting our 12th year consecutively. It's a pleasure to welcome him back with his insights and outlook for the markets. Last year was a better year for the precious metals. We didn't wrap things up the way we would have liked. Still silver about 14%, gold 10% on the upside, and the XAU stealing the show 63% at least. We've had a big correction, and the dollar, though, has lost some upward momentum. What do you see for the precious metals in 2017?
Well, I think you make a good point that only because of how they tailed off at post-election do I find still the few people who still actively pursue and have an interest in precious metals somewhat disappointed. Yet, as you stated, double-digit returns on the metals themselves, substantially more on mining shares, I think most would take just about any year. I think the correction, while completely caught me, I think most others, especially since almost everyone felt that based on the winter, the metals would go in a different direction. I think it was actually healthy for anybody that still looks out multiple of years. I think it allowed us to build a much bigger base. I think taking away all the speculative interest left as solid people who buy for reasons. And speculative people will return at higher prices, especially once there's a clear, evident top in the equity market. We already have it in bonds, and I think when it happens in equities, the what do I do now theory will kick in, and I think we'll see a good amount of that money flow back into the precious metals.
Yeah, paper assets and the risk on trade has overshadowed commodities and to lesser extent the precious metals. But, you know, I like your idea of really looking at the overall picture. We have so much more, I think you'd agree, in our favor on a forward basis than we did in the rearview mirror, especially the last 5 years. CRB has turned the corner. Cup and handle, you can call it whatever you like, but it's just building up momentum. Crude oil right along with the CRB showing incredible signs of life, a potential run to 70, especially if the OPEC members and the non-OPEC members keep in line with their plan to curtail output. We have that in our sails, but we also have the fact that I think the renminbi is going to be a big question mark on a forward basis, because as we know, the People's Bank of China has plans now to hold the renminbi in check, and that tends to impact the dollar. It could cap, I think, the dollar in the next few months, which would also be a big plus. So let's move on to interest rates. Give us your idea of how you feel about the FOMC. The Federal Reserve folks are calling for 2 to 3 more rate hikes this year. You know, it was kind of a non-event at the last meeting. Do you think that investors will quickly bake that into the cake, as they say on Wall Street, give the precious metals greater opportunities to buy at discounts?
I think that the situation in interest rates has to be understood in this regard, and we're not alone. It's happening many areas of the world. I've said that central banks borrowed a Star Trek slogan by going where no man has gone before. And we have seen central bank policy, both here and abroad, go to levels that I don't think even the most brilliant of minds would be willing to bet a lot of money what the exact outcome is going to be. One of the things that I think has gotten lost in the enthusiasm of the Trump win, at least from the people that are strong Trump supporters, all the issues that concerned us for our sake drove metals in the first half of 2016 haven't changed one iota. All the same issues of debt problems, all sorts of social and other issues. Now, there's a great belief by a certain percentage of people, not quite half the amount of people, but they're the people speaking the loudest right at the moment. The Trump administration is going to be able to do great strides to make those things get better. And, of course, the stock market rallied on the basis of that. If for any reason, after a few months or whatever honeymoon period Trump may get, that is not evident, things are at a precarious point. There's not a lot of wiggle room, particularly for the Fed. And what I mean by that is, let's just say for whatever reason the economy doesn't kick in finally after 7 years of talking about it kicking in and not, and for whatever reason, despite Trump's best efforts, it at best muddles along or even starts to roll over again. What does the Federal Reserve do? What does it have left to do? I really think that no matter what it does, it doesn't have the power it once had before, because it's really looked behind the curve for so long. So I'm not a big worrier of the Fed. If I was involved in metals, that the Fed is going to hurt me. I think the other untold story, in case we run out of time, that I want to make sure we get across, Chris, and that is, I don't think people have understand how dramatically positive the supply-demand scenario has changed for gold, that we've seen such a major peak in gold production and now set the slide for years. And even if tomorrow, for some reason, major discoveries were made, it's years before that production would come into the picture. I think the untold story for 2017, if we both live long enough and are able to talk this time next year, is how much the declining picture in gold production enhanced the gold price for 2017. So I'm more interested in supply and demand than what the Federal Reserve may do in interest rates in terms of as a gold buyer.
Echoing the sentiments of Gene Roddenberry, going to new places where no one's been before, set the stage here. The renminbi in Bitcoin in terms of most currencies, but in particular the yuan, where there are currency constraints underway. They have put out heavy-duty constraints on gold ownership. But I haven't seen much discussion in the blogosphere regarding the impact of cryptocurrencies on inflation. And what I think might be primary themes or trends, these cryptocurrencies have sopped up so much of this excess inflation in China and in India, where all the money is funneling into, and Venezuela for that matter as well, into bitcoins, into cryptocurrencies, because they can't direct them into the yellow metal or into silver. There's just not the opportunity. And what I think we might find is, at some point when that spigot is probably turned off by officials, there will be nowhere else to go but precious metals. In other words, who knows, maybe somebody cracks the blockchain code and cryptocurrencies aren't nearly as safe as they once were. We don't know, I think, the tipping point, okay, in the chaotic system, but at some point it just breaks loose.
I think what's important to recognize is that we have seen tremendous gains in financial or paper assets. And providing that one doesn't wake up in the morning and something so dire happened that they all disappeared and all the gains are gone in a night or a couple weeks, eventually that money will seek another home as even if the market continues to go higher, some are just going to feel that it's, you know, it's just getting too expensive. And when you look around, and when you're an institution, and you, you know, you're going to be limited. And realistically, the so-called alternative investment that's acceptable among institutions may not be Bitcoin, but it will be a gold and its cousin, silver, to a lesser extent, but still used. And I just think right now that I'm pleased to see that it has been given up for dead yet again, this time substantially above $1,000. Let's not forget that if we looked at the rally over multiple years through millennium, first, we were not supposed to get above 1,000, and if we did, wouldn't stay there. We had a tremendous ride up to almost 2,000, and then, of course, everybody and his mother predicted a break below 1,000, and it didn't, and it rallied again. The sentiment in terms of financial assets versus gold, I have not seen it this much in decades. In fact, I can't recall it coming into a new year where there was such overall confidence, overriding confidence in the market, and little or no interest, even among those who at one time might have been very bullish on it. And I just think if you take it from nothing but in a contrarian standpoint, the gold and silver market is a much better place than the stock and bond market. Doesn't mean you put every single dollar you have in it, but it's certainly for capital appreciation and certainly non-capital depreciation. It may not be as much as it goes up, but it doesn't go as down compared to what financial assets have the risk of doing. So I'm not a gold bug. I'm not in the game of financial advisory anymore. I talk as a private citizen and consideration for myself. But I can say that after, you know, three-plus decades of being around this, it's probably the most favorable position entering the new year to feel that if I had to risk everything, that what would go up and what will go down is, and that is, you know, gold will be higher at the end of the year and financial assets, stocks and bonds will be lower.
We have the perfect storm for precious metals to have collapsed under 1,000. And nevertheless, they continue to hold up remarkably well. The threat of a Frexit, a Talzit, Nexit with France, Italy, and Netherlands, potentially referendums there on top of the rest we've seen with Brexit, an opportunity for the euro dollar, of course, to boost the dollar much higher as the euro weakens. Interest rates all in the favor of the gold bears and silver bears. Still, gold and silver continue to do remarkably well. We have money that should be flowing into the largest consumers of gold and silver in the world, India and China, and others. Again, that should have just decimated the markets, but they continue to do well. And that's why I think your idea of looking a bit forward here, maybe not just 2017, but the next few years will be key, because we've already seen the type of eruptions that can happen. I mean, look back to the end of 2015. Gold was on nobody's radar screen, a dead asset. Just before, as everyone knows now in hindsight, the XAU and the HUI soared to unbelievable heights. That's why pullbacks represent dollar cost averaging opportunities.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, although I know your show is not a major part of that, but a part that will actually aid this production play that I spoke of in terms of gold is, I think 2017 could be one of the biggest years in gold mergers and acquisition businesses. I think you're going to see a lot of acquisitions made. The majors have created an enormous amount of yearly production that they have to satisfy shareholders with. They have not seen it on the exploration front themselves. They're going to have to go out and buy gold production. That will just shrink the amount of plays that are already out there, and that in turn, helps in terms of with money spent on mergers. There won't be as much money for raw exploration until things settle down. And again, I think the untold story in the metals market, hindsight looking back, will be how much the absolute peak in production and now for several years, sharp declines in gold production is going to aid the physical supply-demand scenario for gold.
There's really a bottleneck there. It can take anywhere from 7-ish to 10 years to really get online when you look at all the documentation, the heavy machinery, permitting. It's just a literal nightmare, and that's why we're so fortunate to have some of the top CEOs and presidents of top mining and exploration companies here on Goldsea.
Just say this, that I think there'll be a much above average mergers and acquisitions. I think the sweet spots will be mining companies that have a couple hundred thousand of production potential year or more. I think they're going to be gobbled up by the five or six of the big names that everybody knows. And I just think it's going to set up, again, an improving supply and demand scenario for physical gold. And, you know, you always have to ask yourself this, and maybe this is a good way to end, that as you pointed out, we've had everything that should have gone wrong to break down the metals hasn't happened. Well, then you have to ask yourself, well, what if just one or two things that can spark it happens? What will it do then? And that's where I think we're at. I think we're at the turning point. I think we began the year with spillover, and then people looked around and said, you know what? I think, you know, it's time to look at metals again. I think the stock market has had a great run. Minimally, it's going to have a correction, a consolidation. And I think once we go a few weeks of building a little base and working higher and, you know, seeing gold a little bit above 1,200 again, I think we'll see a lot of the momentum people return to it, almost look like last year, and by summertime, you know, be substantially higher than where we are now.
Well, you've already touched on this, but I'd just like to underscore the importance of, you know, the equity rally, because, you know, much of this is capital flight. I'm sure you'd agree, from Europe, pouring in from South America, Asia, and Europe. You think they're moving into bonds? I don't think so, because, you know, everyone is expecting higher rates. We all know the bond market is, what, two or three times larger than U.S. equities. Much of that been reallocated by institutions and portfolio managers out of bonds, out of debt instruments, which is in favor of the risk trade. So really, back to your very first point in this discussion, which I think is the crux of the precious metals problem, equities, and I think all eyes will be watching that in the U.S. dollar. We'd like for you, please, to tell people more about the services you provide.
Sure. Peter Granich & Company specializes in providing estate planning, business planning, and retirement planning for individuals, as well as in another division we do with professional athletes. We have a free blog. It's my name, petergranich.com. If you go there and look at Pete Speaks and give you just an email address, you can receive every time we send out an alert, you'll get it via email.
And we look forward to further thoughts, hopefully in 2017.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garnero, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
This is Robert Ian with GoldSeek.com Radio. It is widely reported the Trump transition team,
has instructed ambassadors appointed by President Obama to leave their posts by Inauguration Day. The mainstream media spin is that this may somehow be a reckless move on the part of the incoming administration. According to Fox News, the New York Times first reported that a State Department cable was sent to all ambassadors on December 23rd, informing them that they have to vacate their posts by January 20th without exceptions. In an interview, Ronald Newman, the president of the American Academy of Diplomacy, told the New York Times that he could not recollect there was ever a guillotine in January where it was just everybody out of the pool immediately. But that is factually incorrect, according to the Fox News report. Obama's transition team sent out similar guidance 8 years ago, telling ambassadors appointed by then George W. Bush they had to leave their posts by Inauguration Day. The suggestion or implication by many of these kinds of reports is that the U.S. will be left without guidance or leadership at a serious transitional moment in history. But every moment is a serious transitional moment. And that's not how large organizations work. When managers or CEOs are dismissed following a sale, merger, or hostile takeover, it is customary and expected that new leadership take ownership of the direction of the organization and the representations that organization is making to the marketplace and its shareholders. Because that organization, in this case the United States of America, has spoken at its shareholders meeting on November 8th, and now the new leadership gets to install its team. But with that also goes the accountability and responsibility for results. In the short term, ambassadors' roles will be filled by their deputies and support teams, who, by the way, do much of the work, and in many cases know the operation better than the leadership that will be replaced. We never really had real accountability in our political system at the presidential level. It's always been career politicians, family bloodlines, community organizers, lawyers, actors, and those who've never really had to make it, either as an entrepreneur or in big business. One of the biggest criticisms I hear about the president-elect from pundits like Talking Heads, mainstream media, and the like, is that the president-elect does not have any experience managing the complicated nature of Washington. If Washington is that complicated, it's time to simplify it. That goes for the manipulation of our financial system as well. Successful business leaders hire, or in this case appoint, the expertise they require that they may not personally have. What we often have are leaders who want to use the connections they acquire in the political realm to profit later in the private sector. For the first time, we have someone who is intending to use a lifetime of business connections that have already been amassed and share those with the American people to attempt to solve the problems amassed by politics as usual from presidents of generations past. And until next time, this is Robert Ian with ConquerChange.com, reminding you to follow us on Twitter at ConquerChange. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Robert, thanks for another excellent installment. Well, that wraps up this week's GoldSeek.com radio episode. For two new big guests, be sure to check out next week's show. Until we talk to you again, have a great week. The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
And a little encouragement for our burgeoning vegetarians and vegans here. You can save up to a million lives simply by just eating a vegetarian diet. You can start slowly. I mean, nowadays, veggie burgers and veggie alternatives are so tasty, you just can't tell the difference half the time. So it's really not necessary for us to put these animals through what they go through. We can have very healthy lives. And in fact, studies are showing currently that the typical male can add 10 years to his life and the typical lady 7 years to her life by simply switching to a vegetarian diet. It really benefits everyone all around. And you can save up to 10 lives a day by just switching over. Do the math on that. That's $4,000 or $5,000 a year. 10 years, you're in the neighborhood of $40,000 to $50,000. Before you know it, you've saved 250,000 lives over your lifetime. If you convince just four or five more other people, you saved 1 million lives. You contributed to it.